Hello, students. This lecture will focus on case briefing. You will begin to brief a case this week. Many students ask, why do we brief cases? This is a valid question and one worth pondering. Legal professionals brief cases so their reading time is spent in the most productive manner possible. By briefing a case, we engage in active reading strategies to improve our understanding of complex legal decisions. Case briefs also serve as useful tools when going back to a case that we read months or weeks ago in order to use that case as part of a case filing. As your textbook explains on page 13, briefing court opinion serves two purposes. First, and most important, it makes you read the case thoroughly. You have to go back and dig out the essentials, organize them, and state them in your own words. This is necessary for an adequate understanding of the court opinion. Second, it is a form of note-taking that provides a condensed record of the most important information about the case you briefed. You can use these case briefs to refresh your memory when preparing for class or studying for exams. Case briefs are completed using a very specific template. While law firms and legal professionals may follow slightly different formats for their case briefs, the variations are generally minor. Once you learn one format, you will be positioned for success with any format you are asked to use. In this class, we will follow the briefing format explained on pages 13 to 16 of your e-text. The sections of your case brief are as follows: citation, facts, rule, issue, holding, reasoning, and criticism. The citation goes at the top of the case brief. It is written all on one line. You should include the name of the case, the court that decided it, where the reader can locate it, and the year of the decision. The facts section is divided into two parts: substantive facts and procedural facts. Substantive facts are the facts of the case that happened before the case came to court. You'll need to be selective here and only include facts that you think affected the court's decision. Procedural facts are which lower courts heard this case and how each court decided. The rule section should be the rule of law on which the court based its decision. This should be based on a previous case, a statute, a rule, or a section of the state or federal constitution. The next section is the issue. As explained in your text on page 14, an issue is the legal question created by the facts and relevant rule that the court must resolve. Your issue should start with the word whether and include references to the facts and law so the reader can understand why the parties are in court. This is probably the toughest part of the case brief, so take your time, be patient with yourself, and revise, revise, revise. The holding is the answer to the question asked in the issue. It should start with the word yes or no, and should contain very similar language to the issue question. Your e-text explains on page 14. To be useful, a holding should be broad enough to help courts resolve similar cases, but not so broad as to stand for no more than a general legal principle. Learning how to state a holding either very narrowly, by including very specific facts, or very broadly, by stating the facts as generalizations only, is a skill you will acquire over time. It is best to start with a narrow holding because you will find it easier to amend a narrow holding to make it broader than you will to amend a broad holding to make it narrower. However, even with a narrow holding, include only those facts which you think truly affected the court's decision. The reasoning section should be written in your own words. Here, you should explain the court's holding clearly and succinctly. The last section is the criticism section. This should include a short accounting of what the dissent or concurrence had to say. Be sure to include the judge or justice's name who authored the dissent or concurrence. This section should also include your own opinion of the decision. Your criticism section should point out any logical failings or limitations that you found in the majority opinion's thinking. Make sure anyone reading your criticism section can tell when you are giving your own criticism versus when you are simply reporting on what the dissent had to say. Consider using headings or subheadings within this section to cue your reader. You should follow this format for Case Brief 1 and Case Brief 2. Be sure to integrate my feedback on each assigned part of Case Brief 1 before you submit the final case brief in Week 5. Good luck!